The book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to look for wisdom. We're told in the third chapter of Proverbs, starting with verse 13, that happy is the man that finds wisdom. And we're told in the fourth chapter, verse number 7, that wisdom is the principal thing. I like that saying. It's the principal thing. It's the thing that you need to go after. And in the New Testament, it doesn't stop. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in verse number 15, we're told to walk wisely. Work circumspectfully is the way some passages put it. And then he says, not as fools, but as wise. Wisdom, so very, very important. But the passage that Zach just read for us, James 3, verses 13 through 18, tell us there's a couple different kinds of wisdom. And we need to make sure we're following the right wisdom. Because we can get our heads twisted sometimes. And we think we're very wise. We think we got it all together, but we're following the wrong wisdom. We need to make sure that we're following heavenly wisdom and not earthly wisdom. So we're going to spend the time this morning looking at James 3, 13 through 18. If you haven't got your Bible out, you need to get it out. Because we're going to be looking at this pretty extensively. We're going to start contrasting these two. Let's contrast their origin first. Earthly wisdom is not from above, is the way James puts it. It's earthly. It's the kind of wisdom that the world tells us this is wise. This is the best thing to do according to the world's standards. This is what smart people do. This is what the in people do. And so therefore you ought to do it. We've all heard it. We call it peer pressure. That's what everybody's doing. That's the earthly thing to do. That's the wise thing to do. Trouble is, God says that he's made the wisdom of the world foolishness. Foolishness. We need to know and understand that the wisdom that we're following cannot be the world's wisdom because that's foolishness in the sight of God. Now, who would you rather be in with? God or the world? I mean, that's what it comes down to. The wisdom that we're talking about not only is earthly, but it's described as being sensual. It appeals to the senses. It appeals to the emotions. It appeals to the passions that we have. But this makes me feel good. But I enjoy this. Therefore, it's okay to do. Wisdom according to what feels right. Boy, I know in my life I've found out that what feels right's not always right, haven't you? I mean, that's just common sense, and God tells us over and over that that's true. We cannot go according to what feels right. There has to be a concrete reason why it's right. And then he says it's demonic, this worldly wisdom. It's the kind of wisdom that the devil and his angels use. It's the kind of wisdom that finds its origin in the influence of Satan. The idea, oh, this won't hurt. It won't do you. What's the matter? You just a little baby? You got to follow, you know, you got to do what mommy says? You got to do what your wife says? You got to do what some... No. You do what God says. So, earthly wisdom is just simply not from above. But heavenly wisdom is from above. And in this passage is described in verse number 17, is that wisdom that comes from above, it's from God. That's the wisdom that we need to live by. And how do I get that wisdom? I need that so desperately. How do I get it? He's already told us in the first chapter, starting with verse number 5, down through verse number 8, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. You want wisdom? You want to know how should I act? What should I do? How should I understand this? How should I reject that? How can I do that? Ask God. He tells us, very plainly and very clearly, So we got a contrast right from the start. In the origin of wisdoms, one's not from above and the other is from above. Now, let's look at their nature. We're talking about earthly wisdom now. He says it's full of bitter envies. Bitter envy. The disdain that folks have for one another, the idea that they could look at it and say, oh, they got it, they must have cheated. If they have wealth, they have a good job, they have a nice car, they have nice clothes, they cheated. They took that from somebody else. And that makes you bitter when you think that. That's the kind of wisdom we're talking about here, folks. It's full, verse 14, of bitter envy. And it's self-seeking. We'd call that egocentric. It thinks about self. I don't care how that hurts somebody else. It's what I want. I'm not concerned about anyone but me. This is the kind of wisdom that extols as virtue as power and position and privilege and prestige, pleasure, self-seeking. Oh, how bitter that is. This is the kind of wisdom that is promoted by Satan and his angels. When they rebelled against God, we started talking about that in Genesis. It was that self-seeking wisdom that doesn't come from above. It's the same wisdom that had the disciples arguing over who's the greatest in the kingdom. It's the same wisdom, folks, that cause men's business meeting and elders' meetings to end up in arguments. Sometimes over something as silly as what color to paint the walls. I've seen brethren almost come to blows over where to put a window, and they were only talking 6 inches of difference. It ought to be here, no, it ought to be there. Self-seeking. That's the wisdom that's not from above. Now let's look at the nature of heavenly wisdom. First, it's pure. First, it's pure, verse number 17. What a thought. I mean, it's from God. It's got to be pure. It's from God's truth. And the wisdom, when we have it, is according to God's will. It's pure from the start. How wonderful it is to think, I have pure wisdom. Not adulterated wisdom. Not modified wisdom. Not spun wisdom. I'm talking pure wisdom. And then it says, first it's pure, and then it's peaceable. We're to be at peace with all people as much as depends on us. Romans 12 and verse number 18. We're to make every effort to be at peace. Not make every effort to make sure I get my way. That's that not from above wisdom we're talking about. That earthly wisdom. But wisdom that's peaceable. He describes it in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse number 15, as one that speaks the truth in love. Speaks the truth. But you can speak the truth and speak the truth. And how you do it. The tone that you have, the expression on your face, the way you speak, the volume that you speak it at. You can tell somebody you're in sin with tears in your voice, or you can say it with contempt in your voice. You can say it with love, or you can say it with disdain. The wisdom that's from above is peaceable. And then it's described as gentle, kind is another way of translating that same word. How do we deal with other people? Are we concerned about those other people? How about people we disagree with? How many of us have a problem when people we disagree with and we get harsh and we get nasty and we get sometimes ugly and then we feel so bad? You know something? You ought to feel bad. Because if you're following the wisdom that comes from above, you're going to be gentle, not harsh. Even when dealing with those who differ with us. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, we're told that we need to be very careful how we go about this thing. When we're talking with people that we disagree with, we need to know and make sure that we're doing it in the right way. We do it in a peaceful way. 2 Timothy 2, I'm going to verse 24. It said, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Must not quarrel. That's just as plain a command as repent and be baptized. We must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Now that doesn't mean we don't stand for the truth. That doesn't mean that we don't stand up and say, you know, I don't agree with that. Because look at what it says in verse number 25, same context. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If somebody's in opposition to God, we need to correct it, but we need to do it gently. We need to do it not quarrelsome. And we all know when we're being... when that jaw sticks out and your teeth start gritting and your face gets flushed, and you need to take a big deep breath and step back and say, almost let Satan get me there. Go ahead with the discussion. Go ahead with the correction if it's needed. But do it gently. Speaking the truth in love. Now it says in the next phrase back in James, it says, willing to yield. Anybody have a problem with that one? Willing to say, you know, maybe I'm... just can't get wrong out. Just can't quite let that word... It's funny when we look at it and we think about it. Was it Fonzie that always had a problem saying wrong? I was wrong. I was wrong. Just couldn't. What's it say? Willing to yield. Not in matters of truth now. Going back to what we just read in 2 Timothy 2:25. Correcting those that are in opposition. But willing to yield in matters of opinion. I don't always have to have my way. I mean, just something as simple as, if it was up to me, we'd have steak and mashed potatoes and gravy and every night. There wouldn't be anything swimming across the table. But occasionally I'll do that. I want to pat myself on the back. Last time we went down to Culver's, I even had fish. Voluntarily had fish. On my own. Aren't you impressed? I am. We need to know and understand that we have to be willing to back off. And some of us, that's hard. I mean, some of us, this is right where our cross lies, right here. And we all have to pick up our cross and carry it. We're class A type 1 personality that charge. I'm right and we're going to get it done, and we're going to get it done in my way. What do you mean you don't like that? It's the best way. We're going to do it this way. Willing to yield. In matters of opinion. And if you want to drop down in Romans 14, verse 19 and following, in matters of liberty. It doesn't make any difference. You're not going to go to hell if you believe that or you don't. If you do it this way or you don't, so why fight about it? Boy, is that a lesson that parents need to learn. It's called pick your fight. Okay? I think about Matt, my youngest son. That was the time he was in high school when everybody wanted to get the earrings. All the guys wanted to get earrings. I told him, sure, go ahead. He looked at me and I said, you'll have a slit, not a hole, as soon as I can get a hold of it. And he never did. Now what he did was he'd sneak his mother's clip-on earrings out. and wear them at school and take them off before he came home. He didn't think I knew that. But that was a pick your fight. Now, he also wanted the long hair, and I didn't fight with that a whole lot. I mean, I didn't want it down here, but, you know, if it's covering his ears, a little bit on his neck, that didn't fuss me up. I have since apologized to him for that, by the way, because I think it's not a sin to have an earring. It was more of a generational thing. Matters of liberty. We need to be willing to yield. We don't always have to be right. Now, going back to our text and the time's getting away, willing to yield and then full of mercy. You ever been offended by somebody? Of course. You ever had them hurt your feelings? Do something against you? Sometimes even intentionally do something against you. Are you full of mercy? Well, folks, we need to go and read the need that we have found in James 2 and verse 13. Judgment is without mercy, James tells us, speaking by inspiration to God, to those who refuse to give mercy. We need to be merciful people if we're following the wisdom from above. And sometimes that's a cross for other people to carry. You know, some people by their very nature are just, I'm never going to forget. It's always in my mind. Every time I see that person, it comes up and I think about it, and I've got to be merciful to them because I want God to be merciful to me. And I'm not saying this following this heavenly wisdom is an easy thing to do, because it's not. It's not. The next thing it talks about is not only full of mercy, but full of good fruits. Look at verse number 13. It said, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show. Let him be full of good fruits is another way that we could stick in there and be right with the text. By good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. We can't live on an island all by ourselves. We've got to be full of good work. That doesn't mean do one occasionally. That doesn't mean that, you know, every couple of months or something I do something nice to somebody. That's be full of good works. Full of good works. This wisdom is the kind of wisdom that James was talking about in the first chapter in verse number 22, where he said, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Wisdom from above moves you from that hearer only over to the doer category. Somebody who's full of good works. Because you see, somebody with wisdom from above understands James 2 and verse 26, which says faith without works is dead. Dead. If we're not living our wisdom from above, then there is no wisdom from above. We need to be full of good works. Without partiality, it says. James just spent 13 verses in the second chapter talking about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time right now where he talks about the way you treat the poor. The guy comes in rags and you set him at your feet, and the guy in good clothes, you set him up in the best seat in the house. We can't have partiality based on wealth or religion or education or power or position or anything else. No respect to person. We're to treat all people fairly on the same basis. Everyone. And then without hypocrisy. That simply means that all the things I've been talking about all morning here are not an act. That's who we really are. That's who lives inside of us. That's talking about a heart that desires to please God and not men. Because, you know, sometimes we're required to be friends with those who our other friends aren't friendly with, who our other friends wouldn't associate with. We need to be without hypocrisy. Now, I've talked about the origin, I've talked about the nature of these two different types of wisdom. Let's talk about the fruits of it. What are the results of it? Well, earthly wisdom creates confusion. Confusion. I was asked just last week, so how are things going at the church there in Gahanna? I said, we're at peace. And he said, oh, brother, do I wish I could say that. I was talking to another preacher. I said, we're not growing like I'd like us to, but we're at peace. He said, man, hang on to that with everything you can. And then he went on for the next little while telling me about the problems they were having and the fusses they were having and how wonderful it is to not have confusion. Not have confusion. And then it says, and every evil thing, I'm looking at verse 16, every evil thing, kind of makes you wonder about the wisdom behind denominationalism, doesn't it? Kind of makes you wonder about the wisdom of what's often manifested in politics. Every evil thing. That's earthly wisdom. Confusion and every evil thing. Now what about heavenly wisdom? Well, look at verse 18. It gives us two characteristics. It promotes peace instead of confusion. Heavenly wisdom bears the fruit of righteousness instead of every evil thing. Which one? When you compare their origin, you compare their nature, compare their fruits, would you prefer to follow? Well, let me ask you another question. Which would you prefer the folks around you to follow? Would you rather have people around you to be gentle and peaceful and willing to yield and loving and considerate? Full of good works, no partiality and no... Wouldn't you like to have everybody around you that's in your sphere of people? Your co-workers, your neighbors, your family members. Wouldn't you love to have all of them be like that? Would you fit? If everybody else was like that, would you fit in that crowd? If you asked your family members, how would you describe me? You think I follow earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom? What would they say? Even more important than that, what's God going to say? What's God going to say on the judgment day? Those with earthly wisdom, they boast about how smart they are. They boast about how powerful they are. They boast about how intense they are and all of that. Those who have wisdom from above don't have to boast because they show their wisdom by their good works. What kind of wisdom do we have? What kind of wisdom do you have? You know, we're talking about some pretty serious stuff here this morning. I want you to know if it's earthly wisdom that you want, you don't have to do anything. Just lay back and go with the flow. Just do what everybody else is doing. Just do what the world tells you. Just do what feels right. Just put that big perpendicular pronoun I in front of you and say, that's my goal. I want to be happy. I want what I want. I want to do what I. If you want that earthly wisdom, it's easy. If you want the heavenly wisdom, we have to be diligent to seek wisdom from God. That's what the writer of Proverbs was telling us. Happy is the man that finds it. Doesn't that imply you got to go looking for it? Wisdom is the principal thing that we're reaching for. He says, so get understanding in Proverbs 4. It's something you have to go get. Wisdom makes no response, earthly wisdom makes no response to the gospel, or if they do, it's only what's convenient. I'll obey God when I want to, but I need me time. You ever heard that expression? You know, I gotta have time when I can do what I want to do. And then I'll come back and follow God for the rest of my life. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. That's following earthly wisdom. If Satan can't have you totally, he wants you as much as he can get. And he's even willing to share you with God. Because he knows God won't take second place. We may think we're sharing God and Satan, but God says, no, there's a chasm between us. There's a divide between us when you go off and follow him. And the only thing that can bridge that gap is Christ. We need to know and we need to understand. Heavenly wisdom receives the commands of the gospel joyfully and obediently. We do the things that we need to do. So the question of the day, do you demonstrate heavenly wisdom in your life? Do I demonstrate heavenly wisdom in my life? Don't look at anybody else. Say, well, boy, I sure wished my mate. I sure wished my child. I sure wished my sibling. I sure wished my neighbor. I sure wished you would look at yourself and say, do I demonstrate heavenly wisdom in my life? If you don't, you need to start. If you've never been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, you have that opportunity right now. Heavenly wisdom obeys the gospel obediently. Earthly wisdom says, well, let me think about that for a minute. Let me think about that. We need to know. Right now, today, and you can. Am I saved? Am I going to heaven if I die on the way home? Got a call from Teresa, one of Brad's very close friends in high school, 19-year-old girl, driving down the road, engaged to be married next month. Full life ahead of her, big plans, was killed in an automobile accident. Just like that. Never made it home. What happens if you never make it home? What happens? She was careless. She was updating her Facebook. Swerved across the line and was killed. 19 years old. Are you being careless? Well, hopefully you're not updating your Facebook, but are you updating your life? Now's your time. Right now. While we stand.